Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Russell Moore. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So our topic of conversation I'm very excited to talk to you about is Internet of Things, IoT payments. But we're going to take a bit of a different twist to the conversation, and I think it's a very important twist. It's what's really essential from a common infrastructure perspective to really drive payments into these IoT devices and experiences, but to do it in a safe and secure way. So, Russell, are you ready to dive in?
Absolutely, always ready.
Okay, so here we go. It's interesting when you think about, we think about the four P's, right, in marketing, but there are really three P's when we're talking about Internet of Things and the wave of innovation that it brings. It's the people, it's the products, the devices that they actually have and own and want to use, and then of course there's the payments piece of it. So give me your perspective on those three P's, but in particular how payments should fit into both people and product.
Absolutely. So, there's going to be so many IoT products out there in the future. There's already tons and tons that we interact with today. But the things that they will have in common are those three P's that you mentioned, the people, the payment, and the product itself. And those are the things that we can count on. That will be the underlying infrastructure, as these different IoT devices come out and the new things, all of these things will have that in common, and they need them to have the underlying infrastructure to make them work. You'll have things that run over from a payments perspective. So there's this really good buzz phrase, if you'll allow me to use one. It's M2M, and traditionally that's been the mother. So that's machine to machine, and that's been the mother of IoT, if you look at it from that perspective. Now what you're seeing, as these devices start interacting, the M2M transactions piece is going to, or just the data, right? It's anything that has value. It's not just the payment, but the transaction of the data itself will have value, just as when you do a payment between the devices, it will have value as well. So it doesn't have to necessarily be a monetary transaction. It could be any type of data transaction. And that's where the payments infrastructure that is today, that's where it's going to go towards.
So do you think that there's a different infrastructure or the same infrastructure just adapted to this new world?
Well, it could be anything, right? So you have the traditional infrastructure of the day, the way it works, the way we do things like credit card transactions.
Yep.
Those rails exist, and what's really good about those rails are they're extremely scalable. When you're talking about billions of devices having transactions with billions of other devices, you're going to need scale. And what's really good about today's rails is that is what they're good for. They are extremely good at scaling. And then you have these other really cool technologies that are coming out. A lot of people call them fourth wave technologies, things like, blockchain and artificial intelligence and deep learning, those type of things. From my opinion, when you look at it, it will be some type of hybrid technology where it's using the rails that we have today, and then it's ingesting these new technologies that can allow for these devices to trust one another or talk to one another in a meaningful manner. So I think, especially to begin with, it will be a hybrid system.
I think you're right about that, and I think that has a lot of value for many reasons, including, to your point, they are scalable, they do exist, they're global, they're secure, they're compliant, and there are interesting ways to leverage all that. Let's talk a little bit about this concept of efficiency, which of course everyone thinks, Internet of Things creates a more efficient experience for all parties in the ecosystem, and making it both efficient from the back end perspective and easy for consumers to use on the front end. How do you see those two things reconciling based on all the technology and innovation that you're observing in payments today?
It's going to be the UX, those clean consumer interactions. Those are the things that you might not realize that you love, but you do. It's, you know, when you interact with a wallet or something today and you just get this feeling it's clunky, you know, you've had that feeling, this just feels clunky, that's because the UX is not, it doesn't have a clean interaction. So as a technologist, I get asked a lot, what wallet do I prefer? Is it my Samsung wallet? Is it my Google wallet? Whatever. And my answer to them is I don't prefer one. I actually have five that are on my device right now. And then I probably have another, well, I know I have another seven crypto wallets. And that's because not one wallet will do what I need it to do, right? And the wallet, the user interface, that clean interaction that I crave so much that will allow these things to mesh and look really, really good, is the one that I will use, is the one that does everything I need it to do. And that will happen. You're starting to see the UX devices on our phones and our computers and our tablets. They're starting to get a little cleaner, a little smoother. You know, more rails are opening up for you to be able to use them in different places. And, you know, to me, that's what it's going to take. This really nice, if I may, sexy user interface that's super simple to use. If my 87-year-old grandmother can use it and my 10-year-old daughter can use it, you know, intuitively, that's probably the one that I'll use as well.
Yeah, we're going to have a little chat, Russell, about your crypto wallet. We'll save that for another podcast.
Absolutely.
But I think you're right about, you know, the user experience. And, you know, I wonder what your impression is of this. So, you know, when devices come into the market, they're always the early adopters that put up with the friction. But I wonder if consumers are now just getting more, their expectations are so high that they don't expect friction because so many of the apps and devices they use don't deliver that today. So do you have a sense of whether or not as these things roll out, consumer expectations are going to be they just need to work and be good and efficient and easy? I'm not going to tolerate the friction and the trade-offs I have to make because you want me to adopt something new?
Absolutely. And that's the way it is today. Think about it. You know, if you look at, you know, what TSYS does today even, it's the, you know, we make the credit card payment. When you swipe that card, you as a consumer don't care what's
right.
happening from point A to point Z. All you care about is if you swipe it, it takes less than 2 seconds. And then if you use that EMV chip and slide it in there, it takes less than 7 seconds. And by the way, if it does take less than 2 seconds and less than 7 seconds, you're probably transaction over a TSYS device. Just saying, just throw that out there.
Okay.
But
okay,
it's going to be the exact same with these other payment methods. Yes, consumers are going to expect and won't, it's going to be table stakes. It's absolutely going to have to happen where, you know, when we transact with any type of virtual currency, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, a wallet or crypto or whatever, it's going to have to be seamless, it's going to have to be fast, and it's going to have to be reliable.
So let's talk a little bit about security. It's kind of a little bit of the elephant in the room, maybe, because on the one hand, today, you know, there's always a concern about security when consumers are using their credentials online. Not so much in a store, but you know, online there's always this little nervousness, perhaps, on the part of some. But as the distance between consumers physically taking an action to initiate a payment becomes greater, I wonder what needs to happen to convince consumers that they're still being protected, their credentials are secure, and that their credentials and their identity will remain safe.
Yeah, so from an MDM payments perspective, you know, I like to say this, your machine doesn't know my machine. So we're going to look for things, you know, and it's the same way with these card-not-present transactions that you mentioned before. You know, it gets a little sketchy when you're, you know, putting that number in there and you truly don't know who's on the other side. So there's a couple of things that we're going to rely on. One, you know, you could always count on fraud being a huge concern. You can always count on fraudsters looking for new ways to hack and cause havoc. And with IoT, it's going to be no different. There are going to be vulnerabilities that are found. But what's really cool is you have these traditional agencies like TSYS with their more traditional financial institutions that's gotten really good at being not only aware of it, so you see some startups nowadays and guys are just carrying around information on thumb drives in their pocket. That scares me, right?
Yep.
You know, you never want that. But, you know, some of the traditional things that I've seen that's been a shift that's going to really rock into this, it's innovation through InfoSec. Even at TSYS, where traditionally, but not necessarily at TSYS, but just any big company, a lot of people see InfoSec as a roadblock. But what you're seeing now is this transition. They're starting to technology and doing innovation through InfoSec. So you think about it day one, where you know you're going to have these problems, and maybe it's a newer technology that comes in and takes place, like blockchain, with, you know, its cryptography and its hashing that is so difficult to break. You know, we're going to have to rely on those new technologies. Some are already out. Some are being developed in some guy's basement that I don't know about yet, but I will. And we're going to take those and we're going to combat it like we do today. It'll be a war. Fraud will always be a war.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but I know you're right about that. Well, let's talk a little bit now about artificial intelligence. You know, you mentioned earlier a buzzword. That's certainly a buzzword, another one of the buzzwords.
Sure.
That flies around in all aspects of payments, and particularly when it comes to thinking about connected devices and Internet of Things. How do you see the marriage of AI and IoT, talk about two acronyms here, really coming together to create both a secure and meaningful user experience?
Yeah, it'll be these. This is one of the things that really interests me as a personal consumer, you know, me being a consumer myself. It'll be loyalty programs. You know, we have them today, and they're getting better and better. And now that we're introducing artificial intelligence, deep learning, machine learning, these things are going to become, they'll cater to us so personally. Now, in the past, they've been kind of these broad things. Well, everybody might like this, so we'll send it out. But what you're going to see is, you know, they will know your likes and dislikes, and that will help us, as companies like TSYS and our financial institutions that are our clients, that'll help us cater to your exact needs for your personal data. So you'll have a personal data footprint, and the marrying of these two things will allow it to seamlessly interact with those. So it's solving, what I like to say is, it's solving legitimate problems that you don't even know you have yet. Right?
Right.
So, you know, you don't even know these problems exist, but when artificial intelligence and these IoT devices that we wear or we interact with on the daily basis solve it, you're going to be like, oh man, life's way easier now. I don't have to order milk. I don't have to, you know, I don't have to remember that calendar date. It does it for me because it knows. It's telling me next Christmas I'm going to shop at this particular merchant, and I'm probably going to spend about this amount of money so I can start saving 6 months ahead of time. This is great.
Wow. That's an interesting use case, actually, because I think, you know, we as human beings, we're very busy and we forget. I was doing the math yesterday and I counted the number of days between that day and the end of the year, and I had a lot of anxiety because it's actually not that far away.
It's not.
And I thought, wow, what happened to the year, and how am I going to prepare, do all the things I need to do between now and the end of the year? But, you know, little nudges, little prompts, I think can be very helpful without being intrusive, and I think that's the fine line that we need to really walk in this area.
And you're right, it's a fine line, you know. So when does it get creepy? When does it get spooky? When is it helpful? When is it useful? You know, does it solve problems or does it create more problems? Because that's going to be an issue as well. You know, right now, you know, me having so many wallets is kind of a problem. But eventually, if I'm willing just to stick it out a little bit, it's not going to be a problem. It's going to solve issues. You know, now I enjoy it because of the role I am as a technologist, as an innovator. But, you know, for the everyday average person, they don't need that kind of hassle. And we need to make sure that these devices, the underlying infrastructures are seamless and allow them to use it without a care in the world. That's the way it should be. That's what they're going to expect. You know, that scalability, flexibility, all those things will be table stakes. There will be no question.
So, Russell, I think for the next podcast, we should work on your enthusiasm for this a little bit more.
You need more sparkle? More sparkle?
I'm kidding. You obviously love this topic and
spend
a lot of time thinking about it at a very deep level. So I really enjoyed the conversation and appreciated your your insight. So should we do this again?
Absolutely, absolutely. Anytime.
All right. We'll make a date. Thanks so much, Russell, for again, the great conversation and all the great ideas. Thank you.
You're very welcome.